It's time for Roast Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870, or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining us for another edition of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Teresa Byington, your host for today's show. Chris is away for a family vacation, but I'm sure he'll be tuning in to listen to the recording of today's broadcast. I'm so excited about today's guest. Lynn Hunt is an international award-winning writer and broadcast producer, a consulting rose emeritus, and horticultural judge for the American Rose Society. She also writes for magazines and newspapers and started her blog, The Dirt Diaries, last year. She is a self-titled rose whisperer and a gung-ho gardener who is mostly fanatical about roses. Hey, Lynn, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks so much for the invitation.
We're so glad to have you. Lynn, let's start at the beginning. How did you become interested in growing roses?
Well, my grandparents had roses. My granddad, who lived in Miami, had some roses in his garden, and my grandmother in Michigan had some old roses, shrub roses in her garden. I didn't know the names of any of them, but I was quite fascinated with them. And then when I became an adult, one of my neighbors had a lovely little semicircle rose garden in his backyard that he was always sharing his roses and talking about his roses. So I decided to join our local Rose Society, which for me was the Tidewater Rose Society in the Norfolk, Virginia area. And the rest, they say, is history.
Oh, I love that, hearing about your grandparents. My grandmother had a hedge, and it had all kinds of things in it. And I remember those big bushes that had the most wonderful fragrance. I didn't know what those roses were either, but I've been in search of them, you know, my whole life. Lynn, 2 years ago, you moved to your current location. What was it like for a seasoned gardener to start from scratch to build a new garden in a new garden zone?
Well, it's a bit daunting, Teresa, as you can imagine, and bittersweet, because I had been working on that garden in Maryland for over 15 years, and it was really pretty, and we were very proud of it, but we just decided it was time to make a move. We wanted to be here in the mountains of North Carolina. I'd been coming here since I was a young person. And the people who bought our house were very kind, and they said that I could take along a few of my favorites if I would like to. But unfortunately, the timing of the move was bad. We basically closed in March, and then the next day left for a month in Australia to go to our son's wedding, so there really wasn't any way for me to take any of my roses. So basically, other than the fact that my husband had grafted some of our hydrangeas from there, we started fresh here with all new plants and a new plan, because I'd made some mistakes in Maryland. I hadn't really thought about my foundation plantings. I was so excited about getting roses in the ground. So this time I did the foundation planting first and then started in on my roses and some other plants.
That sort of happened to us, not in a move, but we lost a huge, huge 60-foot tree that changed our dramatically. And at first you cry and you think, oh, my, but then you move right into the excitement stage of, oh, now I have more sun, I can have more flowers, I can have more roses. So with so many things to choose from, how did you decide what you were going to grow in your new garden?
I wanted a few of my old favorites. Unfortunately, one or two of them are no longer in commerce. I had three wonderful rose trees with a little miniature, or it could be classified as a shrub, I guess, called baby blanket, that was a weeping tree rose, always covered with blooms. Sadly, that's no longer available, but I'm, you know, finding a few others that are similar in the mini flora category. And, of course, I had to have my favorite David Austin roses and some new ones I added to the garden that actually are becoming my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to pick just one, but what's your favorite rose right now?
I'd have to say Sir John Betjeman. It's a David Austin rose. I planted it when we first moved here. And Teresa, it has been covered and covered with beautiful blooms, sprays. I haven't had any disease problem, and it's just been a joy. It's very lightly scented, which I like. Because of my allergies, I can't bring any highly scented blooms into the house, whether they're roses or anything else. So it's one rose. I can't enjoy the tiny bit of scent, but bring in the house because it stays in the vase for a very long time. So that would be my favorite. You know, our favorites always change. My old favorite used to be Heritage, which was the first David Austin rose I ever planted. And then it was Sir James Galway, and now Sir John. But I must say Dorothy Bustle is running a close second, and I've also been very impressed with Crocus Rose, which is another David Austin I planted last year. And this year, it's just grown by leaps and bounds. It's at least 3.5 feet tall and was covered with blooms this spring.
I have that one. I have Crocus Rose, and it is beautiful. Another one that looks a bit like that, only more yellow and similar growth habit, only maybe more flowers for me, is Charlotte. So if you do you have Charlotte?
I don't have Charlotte, but one of my dear rose judging friends, whose name is Charlotte, has Charlotte in her garden, and I've admired them, and there's a beautiful bed of Charlotte at Biltmore.
Well, that is a beautiful one in my garden, so I do recommend that one. When we talked, you said that your garden was the cottage-style garden. So what companions do you have with your roses?
Well, I've taken a page from some of the English gardeners, and I've mixed in lavenders, catmints, trying to think what else, some salvias, daylilies, and just other things that catch my eye. I've gotten into the Coreopsis a little bit this year. There's one called Cream Brulee that is a yellow, a more of a lemony yellow than the other, like Jethro Tull. And that's been a nice little addition to the garden. I planted a new, what I call a yellow bed, Teresa. It runs along the side of the driveway because I don't usually have yellow in my regular rose garden, but I planted a whole bed of Midas Touch, Julia Child, and a few other yellow roses and sprinkled in those Coreopsis and yellow daylilies, and it's already looking really pretty.
Ooh, I love yellow in the garden. I know some people, it works for you or it doesn't, but I always think it adds so much sunshine, even on cloudy days, so I would probably really love that. You'll have to post a picture of your yellow garden so I can see it.
I should have when it gets a little more mature.
Yeah. I have a Cleome you might be interested in. It's Senorita Rosalita. If you're not growing that one, it works very well with roses, and it's very well behaved, as some of the Cleomes get really long and leggy. This is a really pretty one, so that might work well with your roses too.
Well, I've jotted that down. I'll definitely look into it. I do not have any of those plants in my garden.
Yeah, it's a really nice one. This is my first year. It took me a couple years to find it. Several people had recommended it, but it was so popular it got gone quickly. But I found it this year, and I can see why they recommend it. It's very nice. We know that we have several new gardeners who follow Rose Chat closely. So what advice would you have for someone who's new to gardening and new to growing roses?
Well, first of all, I would try to locate a local rose society, and if you don't have a local rose society in your area, go online to the new ARS, I believe it's www.ars.org website. They have a newly redesigned website. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but it's supposed to be very nice. And find a consulting rosarian in your area. They list them by state. So if you don't have a rose society, chances are you can find someone who's an expert in your area who knows your area. And that's really important because sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to grow this particular rose. Well, it might grow great in Oregon, but it might fizzle and fizzle in Maryland. So depending on the environment, the temperature, the rainfall, and various things, you really need the advice of someone who grows roses close to where you live. And that would be my best suggestion. Join in a rose society if there's one nearby. is a wonderful experience. You meet people who have the same interests as you have, who are really anxious to help you. I think, Teresa, I might have mentioned, because I knew you are getting into exhibition, that when I first joined, they had a little practice rose show for those of us who were novices, and it was so helpful to be able to bring a few roses in and have the expert exhibitors come over and tell you what you did right, what you did wrong, and give you some tips. And I was thrilled to death when one of my roses got a red ribbon. And one of our great exhibitors came over and he says, well, you know, you might have gotten a blue if your stem wasn't so darn short. I had no idea. But they're all very helpful, and they're anxious to help because they want to encourage people to enjoy roses and to get the word out in the community that you can have fun with roses and they don't all just have to be knockouts, although nothing against knockout. We love knockouts.
Oh, we sure do. Your advice is so stellar. Regional information is so important. That's where I made my biggest mistakes when I first started growing is I just checked the catalog and didn't check any further. I fell in love with the beauty, and that was the end of that, and had many things that had to be shovel pruned later. So regional advice is so important, and the local society is great fun. I mean, what can be more fun for a rose lover than to walk into a room of other rose lovers? So very good stuff indeed. A few weeks ago, you posted an excellent...
Teresa, I can't. You were breaking up, and I couldn't hear that last bit.
A few weeks ago, you posted an excellent article on your blog about the Biltmore Rose Trials, and you mentioned in the article that you had been to the Biltmore right after the trial roses were planted. So walk us through the experience of seeing the roses when they were first planted, and then bring us up to date with what you saw at the trials when the winners were announced.
It was just by coincidence. We had just moved to the mountains, and our good friends from the Eastern Shore came to visit. She had not been to Biltmore, so I said, well, we must go. And we did go. We toured the house. I hadn't been there for many years, and my goodness, they've opened so many new rooms. It's just fabulous. And, of course, had to have a wander over to the Rose Garden. They have something like 250 varieties of roses, some old roses, some newer roses. And I happened to wander over to one section of the garden, which is over by the big palm house. And there's little teeny roses growing, and they all had code names. And they maybe were 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is strange. I wonder what these are doing here. They're not looking too good. Well, as it turned out, they had just been planted. And 2 years later, this past May, they had their final judging. They've been judged 8 times over the last 2 years. And interestingly, Teresa, by a panel of judges who are not all necessarily rosarians or horticultural judges for the American Rose Society, but people from all walks of life who really can look at the rose and see that this is something that anyone can grow, this is something that I would want in my own garden. It's not necessarily for exhibition, more for garden display and carefree growing. And so after those 8 judgings, this young man from New Zealand, who's an amateur hybridizer, Mike Affey, he won 6 of 15 categories, including the most outstanding rose, or what we would call best in show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rose that's temporarily called Affey Fala, and once it's introduced by growers here in the United States, it obviously will have a different name. But what a difference 2 years makes. That rose, I remember the area where it was growing. It was one of the ones that were about 5 inches high. Well, it was huge. It must have been 6 feet tall, and it must have had 1,000 buds on it. It was just incredible. And unfortunately, it wasn't in bloom the day that I was there. Many of the others were that had won prizes. But he's an interesting character. He started growing roses when he was a child. In fact, he tried to plant some rose seeds and was really upset when they didn't grow into some beautiful, fabulous bloom that was fragrant. But he did get into hybridizing in his spare time. And what I found so interesting about him is that he grows these seeds, and then he brings them outside to plant, and they're left to their own devices. He prunes them with a hedge trimmer.
And he does, I love that.
He does stuff that we're all told not to do, like he waters them in the late afternoon. He does it on purpose because he said he wanted to, if there was going to be any disease, he wanted to encourage it. And then if disease does present itself, then he pulls the thing out and burns it. So the roses that he is growing are definitely going to be easy care, and hopefully it'll translate to America, because as you know, Teresa, sometimes one rose you grow in one part of the world isn't suited to another, but the way it looked in Biltmore, the healthy foliage and just robust growth, I think is exciting, and I can't wait for his roses to get over here. One of my favorites, Darcy Bustle, won for best shrub, and it was just a very interesting display, having stumbled across them 2 years ago. And now I'm anxious to see who wins next year, because I went over and looked at that bed that was planted in 2012. And those awards will be given next May. So we can look forward to another interesting story there, Teresa.
Oh, I think we just learned so much from the Biltmore Rose Trials, just getting to meet people like Mike Athey and some of the, and learning a little bit more about the hybridizing process has been so fascinating for me. I mean, we want people like Mike Athey. We want our hybridizers to put the roses through rose hell before we ever get them, so we know what we're doing. I think the new growers of today, they have less time, and we want immediate gratification. So I think we have a lot to look forward to in the world of roses, and the Biltmore Rose Trial certainly spoke to that.
Well, I agree, and I know that Cordis was another winner for best ground cover rose. I haven't seen yet, called Roxy. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but you know, they stopped spraying their roses over 20 years ago. They were kind of ahead of the curve because around that time, and maybe even somewhat after, I think the hybridizers were enchanted with the blooms and sort of forgot about the rest of the plant. And now it's moved in another direction. Of course, we're interested in the bloom and fragrance, but disease-free if possible, and easy care are the things we're all looking for today, even those of us who are crazy about roses, like as little work as we have to do, if possible. And I don't know if this was mentioned before, but one interesting thing I found when I talked to Parker Andes at Biltmore was that when they're observing these roses in the trial, if any bush shows more than 25% of disease, it's yanked from the competition.
So good to know. That is so good to know. I'm growing the Beverly Rose. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was one of the winners as well for fragrance, I believe. It's a hybrid tea. The blooms are absolutely beautiful, and the foliage is beautiful, and we do get black spot here on things, so I'm in a black spot area, but Beverly has been very, very healthy and disease-free. So, and that's one was
they
tested.
They won two awards, actually. They won the Cornelia Vanderbilt Award for Most Fragrant and for Best Hybrid Tea, so I'll have to check that one out.
Oh, it's very pretty. Big, big, luscious blooms. Pink. It's very, very pretty. Well, let's move on to talk about something that's been taking up a lot of your time lately, an iBook entitled The Dirt Diaries. So what's an iBook?
Well, an iBook is a book that you put together with an app called iBooks Author that's available free through the Apple App Store. And they give you a variety of templates to choose. And you can make these individual. You can basically do anything you want with them. If you have a page that has an area for a photo, an area for copy, and you don't sort of like the size of that photo, or you want to expand your copy area, you can do that. It was quite a learning curve, Teresa, and at one point I was ready to tear my hair out. But I got some good advice from, I bought a third-party template, which is more suited for a gardening book. Mm-hmm. And one of the young men that worked there was very helpful and gave me some tips. And just suddenly a light came on in my head, and I thought, oh, okay, this is how we do it. So I've been working on it. I finished it yesterday.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's 54 chapters and 160 pages, a lot of photographs. It's basically my articles, postings, and photography over the last decade. And I picked some of my favorites and put in there. And there's a lot for rose lovers.
Good. Give us a couple little morsels.
Well, the one chapter is called The Subject Was Roses. And the sections, is called One and a Quarter Million, which is profiles of quite a few of the hybridizers that we've just been talking about. David Austin, Bill Radler, the folks at Cordis, a guy by the name of Ben Williams. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's the gentleman who invented the mini flora rose.
Mm.
And he's passed away now, but it's an interesting story of how he got into it in World War II. After World War II, he got interested in hybridizing after meeting a German hybridizer.
Aww.
So, as I said, it's heavy on roses, but I've included a lot of other postings about other plants because I know we cannot live by the rose alone. And I've got a section on critters, coping with critters, and a section called Tales from the Mountain Garden, which is some postings and articles I've done since we moved here to the mountains.
Well, it sounds wonderful. So when will it be out? You say you're all finished now, so when can we look forward to it?
Well, I wish I could give you a concrete answer, Teresa. What happens now is, it's gone back to the technical folks to make sure that I've done everything correctly so it will show up on the iPad the way
mm-hmm.
we want it to look. Right at this moment, only people who own iPads will be able to buy it and read it. But
mm-hmm.
this fall, Apple is coming out with another app that will enable anybody who has an Apple computer, laptop, iPhone, not that I don't know if anybody wanted to read it on an iPhone, but making it a bit more available. But with so many people having iPads, they can go to the iBook store when it's available, and it will be there. So I will definitely keep you posted. What happens next is it goes to Apple, and they review it and make sure that it's up to their standards and, you know, not controversial or anything. So I don't anticipate any problems,
mm-hmm.
unless they don't like roses.
That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. We will keep our listeners posted. Just follow us on our blog and on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll keep you posted on when you can get Lynn's book for sure. We're very excited about it.
I am too.
Lynn, I love the tagline from your book and your blog. It says, 30 years in the garden and still scratching the surface. What does this tagline mean to you?
Well, it means that I basically learn something new every year. It doesn't even have to be every year. It can be almost every day when I try a new plant or I have a plant. I did a chapter in the book called Here Be Dragons about a plant that was supposed to, in ancient times, it could protect you from the bite of a sea dragon. It's Artemisia Pallas Castle. And I thought it would just be the perfect plant to go with my roses, and it turned out it took over the garden. So, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons over the years, and just when I think I know something quite well, I find, oh, wait a minute, I didn't realize that. So I'm especially learning new things now, Teresa, because I have shade for the first time. The front of the house is a small garden. It's enough for me to enjoy without driving me crazy, and that's where the rose garden is. It gets lots of sun, but we built our trail and steps down to the stream. It's all shade down there, so I am learning by trial and error what things should go there, what things I shouldn't fool with, and so forth. So it's always a new learning experience. So that's why I guess I say I'm still scratching the surface.
That's think it's so true. I'm learning and learning and learning, and it's exciting. That's just one of the things I love about gardening so much, is that there is so much to learn and enjoy. Lynn, it's been a pleasure to have you today. Thanks so much for sharing your time with us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Teresa.
I absolutely love Lynn's blog, and I think you will too. And be sure to check out thedirtdiaries.com. And we'll be sure to keep you posted on the release dates for Lynn's book.
Thank you, Teresa.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to hear your comments and your feedback on today's show. Just send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. And you can find us on Twitter by following the Rose Chat hashtag. And you can like Rose Chat Radio on Facebook. And be sure to check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for information on sponsorship opportunities and more about our Rose Chat guest. If you're not a member of the American Rose Society, we believe that becoming a member is a decision you won't regret. They have a great new website. Just check it out at ars.org. You know, broadcast of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio is brought to you by the support of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing an all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa teas. They're available wholesale and retail at manuretea.com. Well, it's been wonderful to be with you today, but until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.